Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we ask your blessing today on our fellowship here and our revelations that we're going to share, that it will reach out and encourage people to be preserved through these coming days. Thank you so much, Father, for your sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who has given us a right to have a Passover of the judgments that are coming upon the world. Father, thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to do part two of Escaping Continuous Contagion. as you know, a huge lawsuit is in the making against the leftists who are destroying constitutional liberties to bring down the economy. And when I first saw this, immediately it came into my thoughts that this will force the leftists to prove that COVID-19 is as dangerous as they have been saying all along it is, by loosing new strains that are more viral and pushing their vaccines, which will just make people sicker and sicker, and also change their DNA, something you don't want to happen. In about 6 days ago, I was in my yard and I saw a low, lone chemtrail overhead that was very solid, and very solid looking. And I thought it was strange that there was only one and that it was so low. And I asked the Lord if this was a good chemtrail, as some are calling them, or a bad chemtrail. And he said it was a bad chemtrail. The next few days, I noticed people witnessing of flu-like symptoms in themselves or their family, in other places of the world even, and in other parts of this country. And then many chemtrails crisscross the sky. And across the country, there is a spike of what is being called COVID-19. And I believe that this is what they will use to justify their lockdowns and vaccines, which there will be no end of. Francis from New Mexico sent this to me. It's an article called New Strains of COVID Could Render Vaccines Completely Useless. And two dangerous new strains are already spreading. And this is by Michael Snyder, November the 18th, 2020. He says, what if all the assumptions that people are making about this COVID pandemic are completely wrong? I believe they are. When Pfizer announced that they had developed a successful vaccine for COVID, the world cheered. And then when Moderna announced that they had developed a successful vaccine for COVID, the world cheered even more. But COVID has been mutating, and scientists assure us that it will keep mutating. So what happens if the vaccines that are being developed end up being completely useless against new mutant strains of the virus? Would that put us all the way back to square one, or even worse? Well, it would be even worse, because if you keep every year having to do what you do with the flu, which is make a new vaccine, as they call it, then you're just taking this for nothing, you know, I mean, because it's not going to deal. I mean, every year they say, go ahead and take this vaccine. It's not the one that matches what the flu that you have, but it will probably help. Well, it probably won't, because sometimes people end up with two flus in, and a double dose. I don't know. I know a lot of people who have gone out and taken the flu shots, and they end up with the flu. I don't take the flu shots, and I don't get the flu. So, and a lot of other people say the same thing, you know. So, he goes on to say, to put this problem in perspective, let's talk about the flu for a moment. Every year, health authorities come up with a flu vaccine that they think will be effective against the variation or variations of the flu that they believe will be dominant in that particular year. Most people simply assume that a flu shot will provide them complete protection against the flu. But that is actually not true at all. In some years, the match between the flu vaccine and the various variations of the flu that are running around is pretty good. In some years, that is definitely not the case. The following comes from the official CDC website. During years when the flu vaccine is not well matched to the circulating influenza viruses, it is possible that little or no benefit from flu vaccination may be observed. As a matter of fact, it can be harmful to be piling that in on you when you don't need it. During years when there is a good match between flu vaccine and circulating viruses, it is possible to measure substantial benefits from flu vaccination in terms of preventing flu illnesses and complications. However, they call it preventing the flu even when people get the flu when they take the vaccination. Okay. However, even during years when the flu vaccine match is good, the benefits of flu vaccination will vary depending upon various factors like the characteristics of the person being vaccinated, what influenza viruses are circulating that season, and even potentially which type of flu vaccine was used. At this point, Pfizer and Moderna both seem convinced that their vaccines will be effective against the dominant strain of COVID that is currently sweeping across the globe. Well, but that's a big problem because we just had two new very dominant strains that are sweeping across the globe, and they're much worse. And he goes on to say, but what if a new strain becomes dominant? Well, right now there are several large and worse than COVID-19 strains out there. One of them may become dominant, but that doesn't stop the other two from going around too, right? Absolutely. In Denmark, a new strain of COVID that is being passed to humans from minks was considered to be so dangerous that the government actually announced that they would kill all 17 million minks in the entire nation. The government of Denmark shocked the world a few days ago when it announced it would slaughter as many as 17 million minks in the country, effectively destroying the entire mink fur industry in the country. The officials opted for this radical option because of the novel coronavirus, as the pathogen developed a potentially dangerous mutation inside the captive mink population. Reports from the country said that the mutated coronavirus has already infected at least 12 people. I heard on the news yesterday it was at that time 30, which was several days ago. Researchers are worried that the new strain might be so dangerous that it could effectively render the current COVID-19 vaccine candidates useless. That's true. It's the same thing with the flu. And this is a flu, right? A new report now delivers more troublesome news, as some researchers think that the mutated coronavirus strain has pandemic potential. Others, meanwhile, are calling for calm. Thankfully, after a tremendous uproar, the Danish government decided not to kill all the minks. Unless, of course, it kills all the people. That would be bad. But this strain is still spreading. And as the quote above noted, this new strain could effectively render the current COVID-19 vaccine candidates useless. In other words, if this Denmark strain becomes dominant, it may force the vaccine companies to go back to the drawing board and start all over. Meanwhile, we just learned that a fast-spreading new strain of COVID-19 has popped up in Australia. Oh, that's kind of far apart, right? And I mean, this is how they make this look normal is that they put it out there somewhere, and it eventually by air gets to your particular part of the country. And of course, if they spray just a little bit here and a little bit there, it starts small, which would be normal, and then it gets big, which of course could be the many, many chemtrails, right? It starts small and it gets big. That's normal. You say, well, that's what how it traveled into the country by air and by boat and whatever, you know, to make it look normal. It's not normal. First of all, COVID-19 has been degenerating since they got it. It went from the L strain all the way down to the S strain, which is not as nearly as deadly. So now it's going in the other direction? Well, they say that man-made viruses like this degenerate because they're not in tune with nature, okay? So that's the reason it went from L in Wuhan all the way down to an S by the time most of it got over here, okay? It deteriorated, and that's the normal thing for a man-made virus to do. However, in this situation, they're getting worse. Why? Because they need them to get worse. They need to prove how bad COVID-19 is. Yeah. I'm going to continue with the article. South Australia is battling a fast-spreading new strain of COVID-19 as it prepares for a six-day lockdown to attempt to contain the virus. A COVID-19 cluster in Adelaide's north grew to 22 on Wednesday. That was what? How long ago? I forget. As thousands of people continued to flock to testing stations. Well, that won't do any good. They've already proven that the tests are a bunch of baloney and they can't be used to test for COVID. If you ever had any touch with a coronavirus, they say it will show up. And coronaviruses are pretty common. Okay, COVID-19 is not that common, but coronavirus has been common for a long time. They say if you've ever had that, it will show up if you ever had it. So that doesn't mean you have COVID-19. A COVID-19 cluster in Adelaide's north grew to 22 on Wednesday as thousands of people continued to flock to testing stations. The reason why authorities decided to lock down all of South Australia for 6 days is because this new strain appears to be far more contagious than previous strains. Oh, so it's getting worse. That's not natural. That's man-made. A strain of COVID-19 behind an outbreak in South Australia may be spreading up to 5 times quicker than normal, officials fear. 5 times quicker. Concerned health bosses say the incubation period, how long it takes for someone to show symptoms after getting infected, was very, very short. Professor Nicola Spurrier, chief health officer for South Australia, claimed people are becoming contagious within 24 hours of catching the virus, which means it's a whole lot easier for people around you to get it too. She said the particular strain behind the outbreak had certain characteristics. Well, if it is true that this new strain spreads 5 times more rapidly than older strains, it could easily become dominant. And like I said, you might have several of them out there. Doesn't matter whether it's dominant or not. They're still doing their dirty work. And if you you are trying to stop one particular strain that you say is dominant, what does it do with the rest of them? And if you knock that strain down, what did you do? You just made another strain dominant, right? What if that happens and the vaccines that have been developed may not be of any use at all? We just don't know at this point. But what we do know is that COVID will continue to mutate in the months and years ahead, and that could potentially create massive headaches for vaccine developers. Yes, they want to keep on hitting you with these vaccines year after year after year to destroy your health and bring you into submission to the New World Order. Yeah. And as for the vaccines that have already been created, some experts are pointing out that there is so much that is unknown about them. Most people assume that these new vaccines are similar to other vaccines that have previously taken, but that is definitely not true. These new vaccines are in an entirely new class all by themselves. They are known as messenger RNA, that's mRNA for short, vaccines, and they work by hijacking the protein making machinery in your cells. When Moderna was just finishing its phase 1 trial, The Independent wrote about the vaccine and described it in this way. It uses a sequence of genetic RNA material produced in a lab that, when injected into your body, must invade your cells and hijack your cells. Doesn't sound smart to me. You don't know what they're doing. They don't know the long-term effects of what they're doing either, because they don't have any long-term history. Protein-making machinery called ribosomes to produce the viral components that subsequently train your immune system to fight the virus. And, you know, the last time I spoke with you, I spoke concerning a movie that was a Japanese movie that particular virus seemed to boost the authority of other diseases out there until they didn't know what they were fighting. And here we see them mutating, separate ends of the globe here, mutating. In this case, Moderna's mRNA 1273 is programmed to make your cells produce the coronavirus, infamous coronavirus spike protein that gives the virus its crown-like appearance. Corona is crown in Latin, for which it is named, wrote The Independent. I certainly do not want my cells hijacked, and nobody has any idea what the long-term effects look like. And even if you take one of these new vaccines, it could end up doing no good for you at all if a different strain emerges and becomes dominant. Unfortunately, I believe that we have entered an era of global pandemics. And I'm convinced that all of this enthusiasm about the vaccines that have been developed is completely misguided. I am sure of it. It is completely misguided. We know that COVID will continue to mutate. Well, as long as you have crazies out there that are willing to do it like they did the first time. But we have no idea at all if the current vaccines will be effective against those future strains or not. If fighting disease was easy, we would have eradicated the common cold and the flu a long time ago. But we haven't, and we won't be eradicating COVID either. Even now, dangerous new strains of COVID are emerging, and I have a feeling that it is going to be COVID that is going to have the last laugh. Well, God's people must be sure to live under the blood of the Passover lamb. I'm telling you, there is no cure going in their direction. The cure is in the Bible, and we have proven it. We have to live under the blood of the Passover lamb, who was sacrificed to deliver us from the curse of these plagues, as in Exodus 12, Psalm 91, Psalm 103, etc. Warnings against two things that have come to us in dreams in the last few days. Now, this is the way God deals with us. He starts bringing together dreams from people who don't know the other person has dreamed, that coordinate with one another to make a point. So this is what's going to happen today. That will annul this sacrifice so that a person falls under the curse. There are a couple of things that will annul your sacrifice, the efficacy of your sacrifice. They also identify who, according to Scripture and revelations we have received, that will be taken down by these plagues. We already know. We've been told for a long time. I've been telling you for a long time that God is going to use this to take down certain people. Okay. Here's a revelation from Winnie C. that she got on the 17th of this month, and I just called it Forgive or Fall Under Judgment. In this dream, Winnie, I believe, represents the Christians who will escape because of their right relationship to God and men and Scripture. She said, I had a pretty powerful dream last night. It was in a house that I suppose was mine. Several men came in holding rifles. I assume that's what they were, although I do not know much about guns. They were large, long, and black, and military style, maybe. Well, we've received dreams that the anarchists of different groups had been supplied military weapons to attack and hold hostage the country. And the enemy is about to come against Christians as spirits or spirits inhabiting these human enemies. You understand? The demons can come at you these two different ways, individually, or they can come through people. Okay? They were holding me and whoever else was there hostage. I knew they wanted to kill me. Well, yes, they do. They want to kill you, and they're talking very loud about assassinating the Christians after this is all over. But I wasn't afraid. I thought that there was a very strong possibility that I would die. Well, let me say that the factious in both the church and state are hateful, unforgiving people who think they should control the lives of others. But as we will see, they are brain dead and controlled by demons. Their perpetual unforgiveness and faithlessness will make them victims of the coming judgments from Babylon's deep state. She said, I immediately began to forgive any offense I had against anyone that the Lord brought to my attention because I knew I could not enter the kingdom with a root of bitterness or offense of any kind in my heart. Esau had a root of bitterness against his brother Jacob, and he could not repent. I even reached out to someone from my past that hurt me, and she was glad to hear from me. To me, she represented my past and how I was let down as a collective. I do not believe it was just about her. Let me say, approaching judgment demands that we forgive all from the heart to escape the tormentor demons who are exercising this power. She said, I wasn't afraid to die. I was afraid to die without having fully surrendered all to God through Jesus, including matters of the heart. Amen. This is true. Get right with the Lord. It's coming. It's here, as a matter of fact. I do not remember what the men were holding us hostage for, a ransom that I do not recall. We know who paid the ransom. Jesus, okay? You know, he's got the only vaccine. Yeah. But as soon as I had forgiven everyone from the heart, the men let us go. All right, they had no power because she did what she was supposed to do. She came out from under the curse by forgiving, right? They all left one by one, and I was grateful to God for his mercy. There is an obvious correlation between forgiveness and being held hostage. Yes, that's true. Even according to the word, the tormentors, and she's going to talk more about that later in the verses below, but the tormenting demons, whether independent or inhabiting an enemy, have authority over us and our future unless we forgive from the heart. Matthew 18:34-35, Jesus said, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that was due. So shall also my heavenly Father do unto you if you forgive not every one his brother from your hearts. Wow. Well, this is true. Many people today are demon-possessed, sickly, and they won't deal with the one issue they have to do to get delivered, and that is forgive from the heart. There are many, many bitter unforgiving people out there. And it's not hurting anybody but them. By the strength of the Lord and by His Spirit, we are able to let go of everything and hold on to nothing. That's true. Our flesh loves to hold on to grudges because of pride and not wanting to be a doormat, as they call it. But that isn't the way of the kingdom. His rebukes and corrections are His mercy and His encouragement to keep us going. I thank God that this happened while I was still bright out. It was still bright outside. The sun, and she puts in parenthesis S-O-N, was shining through our windows, and it made me think of John 9 and 4. We must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Yeah, that's in the middle of the great turmoil, when everything is going in bad directions, you know. He says He will show us the right way to go. That leads to the way of everlasting. Praise God. Matthew 6 and 14 and 15 says, "For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you." Notice it's conditional. If you're not forgiven of your sins, do you have eternal life? How? And how do you get forgiven of your sins? According to this, the condition is you have to forgive others. "But if you do not forgive others their trespass, neither will your Father forgive your trespass." So this unforgiveness of God for those who do not forgive man's offenses, they will have no protection from the judgment. The people who are bitter and unforgiving and critical, besides receiving every kind of disease that you can imagine, that's right, many diseases have been connected to unforgiveness, bitterness, criticism, etc. And diseases, of course, are on the way to death. Ultimately, they overcome you. You know, so, yes, death itself can be the result of an unforgiving life. And a matter of fact, the plagues that they are releasing right now, which they will make sure are very bad and kill a lot of people, I'm just telling you, those can only be annulled by the blood of Jesus, and you can only have that if you forgive from the heart. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made." Now, I'll tell you a question I had. That I noticed in almost every case when a man fell into faction, which is bitterness, criticism, kind of a communist attitude of, "I'm going to force my will on you, and you better do in what I say or else, you know, I'll slander you, you know." When I noticed a man fell into that, his family followed with him. The kids went astray. They had been clean and been taught the Bible, but they fell astray. And the older kids, of course, went out and did their own thing, fell into all kinds of fornication and drugs and so on. So it was just nuts. I said, "Lord, why is it that when this man did this, his whole family went astray?" And this is the verse he gave me. You notice that for the unforgiven, the debt must be paid, and his or her curse comes on the whole family. So, she goes on to quote the verse, "So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. And the debt, of course, is a debt of sin. God forgave us of a debt of sin. If we don't forgive other people's sins that we perceive to be against us, we're in trouble, as he's about to tell you. So he released this original servant and forgave him this debt, which was of sin, which represents sin. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Now, I want to tell you, the thing about faction is, the major thing about it is unforgiveness and a right to judge other people for the things you are doing. That's right. That's the major thing, you see. And the master is angry with that. And he's been giving time for people to repent. And we've been praying for the elect among them to repent. But his patience has run out, and it's happening. Then his master summoned him and said unto him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart. If you're not forgiven, let me tell you what happens to you. You have no faith. You will have no faith. I have never, ever seen anybody that fell into faction that continued on walking by faith in the Lord. They all go back to depending upon drugs because they have no faith in God. They depend on man's ways of salvation. Some of them fall back under the law. Multitudes of them fall back under the law to try to be justified because they can't be justified by faith because they have none. And the Father's turned them over to the tormentors, and you can't even convince them of that, that this that's happened to them isn't the normal life. They're so prideful that they blame you for everything. It's you, it's not them. Matthew 10:28-31, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Well, notice the bitterness and the unforgiveness of the factions in church and state, by the way, will make them victims of the tormenting demons in the plagues and curses, as we have been given many dreams to show. We have been shown many people who were in the faction dying of the plague. And I know that that's the reason. They have no protection. They have broken their Passover. And another thing that came to us at the same time of this situation here, unforgiveness, is that fear will make you a victim. And fear, of course, is the opposite of faith. Fear is a fear of the curse instead of a faith that Jesus bore the curse for you. They don't have that faith. So fear will make you a victim. And this was given to Amber Bristol on the 17th of this month. In 17, as you know, 17 is the number of preservation through trouble, tribulation. And the last dream also was given on the 17th. So these two came together. So pay attention. It's very important. Because I'm not only telling you how to escape, I'm also telling you who will not escape. I dreamed I was driving a car following other cars from UBM. We came to a house on a hill. Many people pulled to a high gravel parking spot near the house. Well, a type of God's house on the hill of Zion could be represented here, God's people. And amber here is being used to warn the larger body of what will make them a victim of the judgments of the deep state, because they're the ones that are going to loose them on this country. But she is a type of those who are fearful of these things. She's not normally fearful. She doesn't have that problem. She said, I didn't like this night. It was dark and windy. In other words, an ominous atmosphere. I didn't want to be trapped behind the other cars. I wanted to be ready to leave easily. I wanted to park with the front of my car pointed towards the way out. Always afraid of something coming, you know. A fear of being trapped in things to come is like spiritual claustrophobia. You know, it's a fear of not being able to escape closed places, you know. So I think this is, again, pointing out fear. Fear will make you a victim here. Angelica and other people were standing there and warning me where to not park. Angelica, she believes, is meaning an angel, okay, telling you don't park there. I think I was told not to park on the grass. Well, we know what Peter said, all flesh is as grass. And, of course, it's going to fail, right? The flesh is going to fail. Flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, don't park or rest your human vehicle in the flesh. Some people do that. A lot of people do that. It comes perfectly normal. We've been trained to do that from our parents, is to negotiate with the curse from a perspective of safety, you know, like guns. You know, I'm going to save myself with my guns. No, they got bigger guns, better guns. Or I'll save myself with a vaccine. No, they got bigger diseases and better diseases, you know. So everything that you could possibly trust in the flesh of man's salvation will fail. It's normal. It's natural for it to fail because God doesn't want people to have any trust in anything but his sacrifice, Jesus Christ. And I was told to avoid a few other spots for safety's sake. That's so you don't slide off the hill and lose your position, right? When we have meetings at my house, which is on the top of a small mountain, I warn people not to park on the grass when the ground is damp or wet because people slide down the side of the mountain. One man actually did this. He slid quite a ways down the side of the mountain, you know, before stopping. And later that man fell away from the Lord through unforgiveness and died in the faction. I mean, physically died in the faction. Yeah, he died spiritually and then he physically died. He slid off the mountain. And it was just, that jumped out to me when I got to this particular point. It was God making a point. Eventually, I got parked and walked around to the back of the house. And several people were seated in lawn chairs lined up towards the street that ran behind the house. And the other people were wandering around. And this was a very straight street, almost like train tracks. Well, a straight street can be positive, you know. The straight street is not a crooked path, you know. So that's good. And if a person walks or drives straight, they can see what's ahead for a long ways. But if they're on a windy road, they don't know what's around the next bend. They get surprised by things, you know. And getting off track is another kind of terminology people use. It's missing the narrow, straight road to take the crooked road, right? It was Halloween, and I didn't want to be outside. In other words, a fear of evil, right? And Amber doesn't have fears spoken of here, but she is acting out a warning for the body to not fear the judgments that are about to come, or else they will come on them. Fear invites disease. Fear of a disease invites it to take you. And if your conscience is clean, and you walk by faith, because that's the only people that can walk by faith, is the people that have a clean conscience, you can escape these things. She went on to say it was dark and windy, and we know that Halloween is supposed to be a scary night when demonic scary things are celebrated, and it is, of course, a satanic holiday. Yeah, lots of children turn up missing on that night. And now we learned where they're going. There were no lights on under the porch where we all were gathered. The only light was the dim light coming from the sky. So it's only walking in the light of God's word that we're safe. 1 John 1:7-9 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Oh, so if you're walking in the light, you have fellowship one with another, like Jacob and Esau. Or so it should have been. So what does faction do? It disrupts the fellowship between one another. You can't walk in the light and have faction. You can't. And if you're not walking in the light, what else does it cost you? Well, he goes on to tell you, "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." You do not get cleansed of your sin if you have faction. You're judging other people. You're unforgiving of other people. So you are judged and you are not forgiven. It's very simple. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me say, I've known quite a few factious people, and those with the factious spirit never confess their sins, because their demon knows he would lose his house. They always blame others for what they did. Just like in the political realm. You know, when we started telling people these things, they didn't believe it until it came out in the political realm. It was kind of like the letter of the parable was happening before their eyes. Yeah. She went on to say, scary figures, I guess in costumes, would travel very quickly down this straight road. The first was an Indian in full headdress. He bared his teeth and showed his knife. I believe the fierce Indian represents the first owners of this land who became antagonists to the white man. Have you noticed anything like that? Have you noticed that the deep state have always tried to turn the left against the white man? This is faction. It doesn't matter what color you are. They're the most everybody that they blame, is really their own problem. This is faction. It divides, it conquers, and that's their tactic, is to divide and conquer. They want race wars. They want race trouble. They want racial trouble because they can take advantage of it. So that's this bad white man thing going around. And even Black Lives Matter, they run around. Most of them are white men, and they're killing and destroying the businesses of the blacks. Duh. Okay. So who is the most racist people out there? It's these factious people. And this fits the deep state faction in our personal experience. The full headdress was worn by great warriors and chiefs. The deep state is at war with the American people and consider themselves our leaders, or you should say owners, or chiefs, right? The war paint and fierce look is to instill fear in their victims. Because if you can make a person afraid of you, you can control them, right? Fear of them makes them and their judgments more powerful. When judgment is upon the world, when a curse is upon the world, when a sickness is upon the world, a virus is upon the world, you're always open to it because of fear. You're open to it because of fear. You do not believe the good news of the gospel that Jesus became accursed for you and that by his stripes you were healed. And that I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And no plague will come nigh thy tent. If you don't believe the promises, you don't get them. It's that simple. Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you, Jesus said. Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear is faith in the negative. It's faith in the curse, in the power of the curse over you. That's what fear is. If you got fear, you're not having faith. If you're not having faith, you're not partaking of the promise. So, who is it that's going to be the most open to these plagues that they're spreading around? They are. I'm talking legally from the scriptures. They are. By the way, who are the most people who have died from these plagues so far? I mean, really died from the really plague. not all the things they say, raise the numbers up, it's the leftists. It's the leftists. It's the factious. It's those that hate their brothers, like Esau. Cost Esau his life. And he defiled many, as the scripture says, a root of bitterness which defileth the many. He defiled his children all the way down to today. They have a hatred for their brother Jacob or Israel, or in the New Testament terms, the church. The attacks from deep state and their attempts to destroy the health, economy, and the food source will be scary. So this could very well be a warning for us to pray and believe against this, right? Fear negates faith because it's faith in reverse. Claustrophobia is a spirit of fear of tight places and not being able to escape, you know. So those who fall into faction, who had faith at one time, then have no faith for themselves to save them from the coming plagues or their families or other judgments. They can't be justified by faith because they do not repent. Their own fear will destroy them. They have a fear of rejection, strong fear of rejection. They don't want to tell people or confess or humble themselves to confess their sin against them. They won't do it. Job 3:25 says, "For the thing which I fear cometh upon me, and that which I am afraid of cometh unto me." See, faith works. And fear is faith in reverse, and it works. It works in the negative. Mutations of COVID that are far more viral are spreading, and lockdowns are happening to whole countries. And this is one of the scary deep state attacks which will take down the factions who have no faith but fear. Amen. The second figure was a black bull. He was angry and acted like he was going to attack us. In other words, the bull got off the straight road. Just like the Indian, they got off the straight road. And this is, of course, going astray, which is why it is black for darkness, right? We've been delivered out of the power of darkness. Darkness represents all the devil and his demons, you know, and all their works and all of the curse, you know. And it is turning against us by getting on a crooked path, that this bull, right, is turning against us. So what is the bull? Well, this is what came to me. The Trump market is a bull market. Has anybody done so much for the market as this man, even though he's been fought all the way by the leftists who don't want him to look good because of what he has done? In one dream that we recently received and shared here locally, was a bull. He was a bull. Trump was a bull that the left was trying to kill. But he was resurrected by God supernaturally to judge the matadors who were spearing him constantly. Well, we know who the matadors are. It's trying to kill him, trying to spear him. Well, they ultimately thought they had done it, but failed. Yeah, at the end of the revelation, they failed. God resurrected Trump as a bull, and he went tearing into him. in a bull market, stocks tend to go up in price over a period of time, and it means people have hope for the future and are confident to invest in it, right? And bull markets are when the economy is growing, unemployment is low, inflation is at bay, and when someone says that he is bullish on a single stock, he simply means he expects it to rise in price. We don't want it to go astray, the bull, that is, go astray, as many liberals and deep state are trying to do. They're trying to push this thing off track. They're trying to push the bull market off track. People are fearful and lose confidence in the future and don't invest in it. Okay, so this is this fearful thing. People are afraid of their future. They're afraid the economy is going to crumble and so on and so forth because these people are out there doing their best to make it happen. I was going to hide behind some furniture, she said, that was stacked near the back wall, when all of a sudden a fierce wind and leaves blew up and scared the black bull back onto the road, back onto the straight road. Oh, that's good. That sounds good. We all laughed and boasted about how we were being protected by the wind. Well, the wind in scriptures is even Old and New Testament, by the way, the Hebrew and the Greek. This is the same word for spirit. The spirit put the bull back on the straight road to prosperity. Fear of the bull going astray will only help it to do so, right? Like Job said, the things that he greatly feared came upon him. And that's quite normal. That's what usually happens. If you have a lot of fear, get rid of it. It'll destroy you. It'll make you ineligible for the benefits of the kingdom, because to get the benefits of the kingdom, you must walk by faith. And you can't have them both at the same time. I went into the house to get away from the parade of scary figures outside. Well, fear of these things, two things in particular that were pointed out here, the deep state and what they do, and the bull and what could happen because they're trying to destroy the economy. Fear of these things can make us victims. And that's what we've been receiving in our dreams about the faction, because they have fear of a lot of things. They have no faith whatsoever, and so they're not entitled to the benefit of escaping because of their faith in the truth. They don't have the truth. It's escaped from their mind. It's the most amazing miracle I've ever seen, how that they come to us and they love the truth and they get full of the truth, but they come to a place where they don't want to give it over to God, and he kicks them out by just turning them over to faction, and they're gone. Inside, there was a gathering taking place. I believe this was the basement, but it was very brightly lit. I think that's because the basement represents a humble attitude towards God's word. Right? That's what I believe this is talking about. And other dreams kind of point me in this direction. Two pregnant women who I don't remember now, but they were of us, were going to have Michael Hare, meaning who is like God, kiss the babies in their bellies, fruit. The baby in the belly is fruit, right? Bearing fruit. It was some sort of a blessing. Well, you know, a person who is like God speaks God's word. They can bless the fruit. Okay. The lips represent words, and the babies represent the women's fruit. And the word of God brings forth healthy fruit. In the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, the Lord sowed the seed of the word into the womb of the minds to bring forth his fruit in the people. But sadly, three out of four people that Jesus mentioned in that parable did not hold to the word in order to bear his fruit. That's a sad thing. People think all Christians go to heaven. Well, they all call themselves Christians, but are they? Actually, only one out of four here was a Christian. I'm not saying that they didn't have an initial salvation. I'm just saying they were Christians at the time, you see. One man was excited and was asking questions. He had his shirt pulled up, exposing his hairy Esau stomach. That was her words. That was what came to her. His hairy Esau stomach. Well, Esau, who hated his brother through a spirit of faction, cannot be blessed. The factions in state and church are violently against their brethren, like Esau was against Jacob, and they cannot be blessed without repentance. He wanted his stomach kissed too. I was embarrassed. I tried to tell him that men didn't get their stomachs kissed. I would say, especially by Michael. But seriously, in this type, a man's belly can bear no fruit, for he has no womb to nourish the seed of the word. He has only flesh, and that can't be blessed. So can you see what I'm saying? One of the two women pointed to a very slightly rounded tummy and said it will be her, the unborn baby named Sadine, or something like that, her first birthday. It will be her first birthday. And Amber said, this was confusing since the baby wasn't born yet. Well, what popped into my head was something that I saw years ago, many years ago, that I thought showed that God counted a child's age from conception and not birth. That's why abortion is such a sin, and it brings such a curse on the people that do it. And the women that lend their bodies to this, because that's a spirit of murder that comes upon them. It changes. In fact, there's very few marriages that survive abortion. That's right. Just think about how it's going to end up when you do this, right? But anyway, so I saw this verse that made me believe that God counted from conception and not what we call birth. And the Chinese have this belief. I don't know how many others might have it. Matthew 1:20 says, but when he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Now, let me read that the way it should have been translated, because the word conceived is not there. It's the word born. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is born in her is of the Holy Spirit. What is God calling born there? Conception. The baby in the womb is born of the seed, you see. It's not born of the flesh, it's born of the seed. It's in the womb and it's born. He's calling it born in the original language. Oh. So if you believe in abortion, you better repent. I looked around and I saw a few men who had one shirt pulled up over their stomach, but had another inner shirt covering their skin. Well, first of all, we also already know that men can't bear fruit. And this is talking about, of course, those people out there who can't bear fruit, right? So wanting to bless their flesh, but they don't want it to be seen by others. You know, if we hide our sins, we can't be blessed. Proverbs 28 and 13. He that covereth his transgressions shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall obtain mercy. There you go. You see it? James 5 and 16 also says, confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The supplication of a righteous man availeth much in its working. This is why the faction cannot be blessed and healthy and have no blood covering for their Passover of the death angel. It's because they can't confess their sins. They're so afraid to confess their sins. So, Amber said, I was trying to get away from this Esau man as I was disgusted and embarrassed by his bare belly and determination to get his belly kissed or blessed. He wants a blessing while he lives in the flesh. Is it possible? No. Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. God hates faction. He hates people who give in to faction because they hate his children. That's what they do. They spend the rest of their life fighting against the children of God. Not the world. They love the world. They fight against the children of God. So this Esau was determined to get his belly kissed, you know. He had a stack of small coins in his hand. Well, you know, coins is what you get for your work, right? And salvation from these curses cannot come by men's works. It can't come. You cannot bear fruit by men's works. Notice how Jesus and his disciples avoided the works of men. Salvation was by grace. It was free. If they prayed for someone, they prayed for them freely. If they gave them a gift, it was freely given. Everything was free, unearned. Right? It was grace. It was grace. He did not permit them to charge anybody for anything. Freely you have received, freely give. It was grace. Anybody that does charge, I mean, obviously, it's not grace, and that's not God. I'm not saying God won't heal through them or deliver through them or do these things through them, but that person is not going to get a reward. Okay? So it can't come by men's works. And Amber said that these coins were in a paper communion cup or a condom. I could not see which. Well, we're commanded to have no communion with the unfruitful works of darkness, which cannot bear fruit, just like a condom. It cannot bear fruit. Amazing. You can't think this stuff up, especially when you're sound asleep. God just, you know, God is awesome. So she said, I wanted to get away from him, so I went to the stairwell and watched from there. David came into the stairwell and closed the door behind him. I had my head towards the door to see out, and my feet up the stairs. I was on my stomach. That's a funny picture. So what does it represent? David was getting tangled with me as he tried to go up the stairs. Of course, I was stepping all over her, right? So he helped me turn around and laughed in a nice way as he helped me to get on my feet and walk with him up the stairs. Well, this dream seems to be saying that if we are fearful of the future, this will hinder us from going forward and upward into heavenly places in Christ, where all of our benefits are. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All of the benefits of God's kingdom are given to the people who have faith. In this case, she, like a lot of people, was more standing on her head. Things were upside down here, you see, and there was no benefit involved. It was looking in the wrong direction, going in the wrong direction, right? Okay. Here's another one that kind of fits in really good. But it was sent to me just yesterday, I think. Bill Steenland received this on the 22nd. No, that's today. Yeah, he sent it to me today, this morning, early this morning, when we were having our prayer meeting. He sent it to me. And we called it, Biden Voters Lose Their Minds. In my dream, a Democrat was telling me about what they have seen at their parties. She was very distraught and confused because the people in the Joe Biden party were being decapitated by an angel. She was put off that the people were still alive but with no heads. We know people like that. And I think it means that they have no power to rationalize or think. It is true. It is true. You've seen these people. And even if you haven't seen them in the church, we have, then they're the same way. They're the same way. They cannot rationalize. They cannot think. Because the demon is doing all of their thinking for them. So as this far-left party has factioned against the right wing and Christians and lost their brains, so God speaks of the Edomites who factioned against their chosen brother Israel and lost all their wisdom. Both David and the nations conquered them. And so it will be. Jeremiah 49:7-8. Of Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman? Man, that was their leadership, right? Is wisdom no more in Teman? That would be their head, right? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Well, I tell you, people can look around the country and tell exactly who this is. Flee ye, turn back, dwell in the depths, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. Who's going to do it? The Lord is going to do it. And we've already seen in the dreams how he's going to do it. The curses that the deep state, who is very leftist and very factious themselves, is going to come on their own people. Does that sound familiar? Well, of course it does. Which cities have the worst economy, the greatest destruction, and the most people dying? The liberal cities. It's coming upon them. When I first said that, we didn't have this history to prove it. And it sounded like I was saying they were going to shoot themselves in the foot. And I said it. I called it that years ago. And guess what? It's been coming true ever since. but it's about to come true in a much bigger way and more catastrophic way. I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him. It's the calamity that he brings on people that's coming upon him. Notice. The time that I shall visit him. Oh, when God comes in a visitation, it's usually talking about him destroying the enemies of God's people. But I have made, verse 10, I'm going down to verse 10, I'm going to skip through this a little bit so we can get through. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered his secret places. Everything that they wanted to hide is going to be revealed. They desperately want to hide it. It's going to be revealed. And he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is destroyed, and his brethren and his neighbors, and he is not. You know, Savior shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Yes. So in 13, we're told, for I have sworn by myself, says the Lord, that Bozrah, meaning sheepfold, it was the sheepfold of Edom, shall become an astonishment, a reproach, a waste, a curse, and all the cities thereof shall be perpetual wastes. Are you looking at the cities that are being destroyed by the anarchists? The Black Lives Matter? The communists? Are you looking at whose cities are being destroyed? You think, how ludicrous. These crazies are destroying their own city. Now they want Trump to pay for it. And he says, no. I have heard tidings from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the nations, saying, gather yourselves together and come against her and rise up to the battle. He's talking about the nations. You know what? This thing is going to spread to the nations. Yeah. You know, well, I better not get into that now. I don't have time. There is great destruction of Esau coming from the nations. And as we know, David conquered them and put his military in their cities to control them. And he said, I think it also means these people are going to lose it or lose their heads when the courts rule in favor of President Trump on the vote cheating that they have done. They can do nothing else but that. They can do nothing else but rule in Trump's favor. They have so much evidence to come out. Now, some people say, why did so-and-so come against him? Because he didn't get enough evidence. They didn't give him enough evidence. And there was a reason for that. You don't ever do that. You don't ever show all your evidence, you know, to the world. Because there's too many ways that they can get out of it before trial comes. You know? So, they're wanting to keep it until it's been ruled on. And then they're going to give it to everybody. Everybody's going to know about the Edomites and what they have done from the beginning and how they've been cheating with this Dominion vote rigging for the last 20 years. and probably the last 60 years of other ways of vote cheating. A lot of people are in office today because they knew they could go there because they were using this method to cheat on the votes. And guess what? This is going to reveal them. I was told, let's see, who was this guy? I forget exactly who it was, but they said 100 congressmen are going to end up leaving after Christmas because they made a deal to be able to leave. They cheated and got in office, and they weren't supposed to be there. Wow. And let me say this. The House and Senate, I believe, is going to be totally red. I mean, they're going to own it. And Garrett went on to say, I also can't help but think it's a form of reprobation similar to the mark or ultimate judgment. These are the people who have been taking in faction and witchcraft against President Trump, America, and the Christians for four straight years. So I'm not surprised. Yes, they've been feeding on those demons for four straight years. And their false prophet, the mainstream media, is sending out slander. Slander is the medium by which witchcraft and faction is imported or exported to people. This is how it happens. If you read slander and faction, those stupid demons will take you over. I know it for a fact. We've got many witnesses have seen this happen, and this is the reason. And that's why the Lord makes so many rules now, of having two or three witnesses. Don't listen to some liars that they put up there in the courtroom to crucify Jesus. Right? So this next revelation was just sent to me by Vanessa Weeks. She got it on the 22nd. Let's see. Also, Bill and Vanessa both got theirs on the 22nd. Isn't that interesting how that happens? In a dream on 11/18. Oh, excuse me. She sent it to me on the 22nd, but it was on 11/18. On 11/18/20, I was looking at a picture of President Trump sitting at a table giving a press conference. Fauci was sitting to his left, of course, and talking to him. That's the position that Jesus put the goats in, right? On the left. All you tares, you get on the left, right? The background or wall behind them was chaotic with different color wavy lines. So the background of this dream is the chaos that we're entering into. I remember yellow and green. Well, I believe that means danger to life. Yellow is danger, and green represents life, right? Danger to life. So this chaos is going to bring danger to life. I was supposed to color in the white parts, I think. But then I saw another picture where the president was sitting at a white table with Fauci sitting to his left. Okay. She was supposed to color in the white parts. Well, of course, that's what we're supposed to do, is bring truth, bring righteousness, bring purity, right, to all the chaos and the danger to life, right? But in this, there were eight clocks on the white wall behind them in two lines of four. These clocks reminded me of clocks you used to see many years ago in a newsroom on TV. And when I saw this, I knew that this is the picture I should choose. I received by faith at random for this dream Psalm 19:126. It is time. Yes, it is time for the Lord to work, for they have made void thy law. It's time. So now we know what the clocks are. The clocks represent the whole world, right? Right? Clocks in a newsroom are the different time zones of major cities around the world. Right? So this is something that's happening around the world. It's time for the Lord to work, for they have made void thy law. So he's going to work around the world, right? She said, I believe the Lord is saying it is time for him to work around the world. I got a little ahead of her there. for they, Fauci and his team. Well, we know he's deep state. And we know that Trump has been playing him like a fiddle. For they have made void his law. Yes, they have. Fauci is one of those who is factious against the people. He's bringing destruction for his own evil purposes. And of course, they were in on the thing over in Wuhan. Him and Bill Gates. Yes, they were. And etc. So this is new strains that are coming out. And they're worse instead of better or weaker. I asked the Lord for a word about this dream and received by faith at random Luke 9:1. So she asked for another word, Luke 9:1. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And she goes on to say that they are seeding in the world now. Yes, they're seeding the diseases now. These are crazy people. All factious people are crazy people. And murder is not beyond their pale at all. In fact, they like to start world wars. A sacrifice to their god, Satan. It's their Halloween sacrifice. If you will. And Vanessa says, thank you, Father, that you are in control of this time and working for your elect. In Jesus' name, we bind the chaotic demons that try to destroy your plan to extend President Trump's reign, and you are the one reigning through him. Yes. And he is giving them the power here, the authority over all demons and their diseases that they spread, right? So God's people can heal people of these diseases. We've been doing it. We've been healing people of this COVID-19. It's not hard, really. So we thank you, Father, that you have given us authority to do that. And this new disease is no different. These new diseases are no different. The Lord gives us authority over them. And you shouldn't fear, and you should always forgive. As we have seen, this is very important. If you want to live under the blood of the Lamb, under the blood covenant, if you want to have a Passover so that the angel with the plague passes over you and hits the Egyptians, then you have to have repentance and faith and confess your sins and so on. Now, here's one by Garrett Crawford, given to Garrett Crawford on the 16th of this month. It's very, very interesting. I will share a dream I received. I am going to share exactly what I saw and not change or twist anything. Some of the things may not make sense, but this is what I saw. Okay. In this dream, I saw a coup against Donald Trump. Although I never saw Donald Trump in the dream. Okay, so he saw the coup. This coup was building and building. Many people in the country were unhappy with him and wanted him overthrown. Yes, that's true. I will say, not nearly as many people as are for him. And that's going to be proven, too. I think he got 90-something percent of the vote. We'll find out soon. I mean, I know they already have the figures. And we'll see them again soon. I mean, if you just look at the crowds that Biden drew and the crowds that Trump drew, how can they? First of all, throughout history, when somebody drew large crowds and who was running against them only drew small crowds, the one with the large crowds always wins. Well, that makes common sense, doesn't it? So how can Biden win against Trump? He's got 30, 50,000 people coming to a meeting, and Biden's lucky to get 16. Unless you're watching the mainstream media, and then you'd never know this. You'd never see the pictures of it. Never. So, but there's still many people that want him overthrown. And they don't mind being illegal to do it. They don't mind anarchy to do it. They don't mind faction to do it. They don't mind witchcraft to do it. The leftists are now very vocal anarchists, while the silent right wing are much more peaceful. It's hard to get them riled up, really. Then I was taken into an armory on a military base. I saw a mischievous figure with a set of keys. This figure did something that intrigued and shocked me. I read a while back that the governor of California was caught using tax funds from the federal government to buy arms for the communist anarchists. Huh. Yeah, this is going to come out soon. There's a time. They're very careful about the way they bring things out at a right time. So this mischievous figure began to unlock every single door to all the weapons and vehicles. I watched as he unlocked rows of bay doors that stored Apache helicopters, Humvees, and tanks. These were no longer secure, and anyone could take them and recklessly use them. Watching this was like watching someone open all the jail cells in a maximum security prison. You can only imagine what kind of mayhem this would produce. There may be a bunch of them, and they may do a lot of mayhem, but they're not very good at it. You have to have training to learn to use a tank, right? It doesn't come natural. And so, the anarchists that are out there are pretty stupid. They are very easily caught. Sometimes they catch themselves. So one of them spit on a lady that was a pro-Trump person and sped off and slammed right into another vehicle. So some people love to see justice that way, right? Well, they're not very good at what they do because they have stupid demons. We call them stupid demons because they make people stupid. And what kind of mayhem? Yes, not only to themselves, but to others. Yeah. And you said, well, this was the same feeling I had in the dream. The next scene I was shown, I saw the coup sweeping the land. But this was not a coup of the deep state, billionaires, or the elite. It was made up of everyday Americans, mostly white people. Have you ever seen white people that were prejudiced against white people? Well, that's what leftists do nowadays to make it popular, you know. Isn't it crazy? I told you it's stupid. I saw soccer moms, teenagers, old men with southern accents driving the stolen tanks, flying helicopters. Yes, that's something you don't want to do unless you've already had experience, like in the military, experience to know how to use it. Tanks, too. And marching with guns that they seized. They were intent on overthrowing what they perceived as a wicked government. Well, that's what they've been told. And if you've fed on nothing but the mainstream media, that's all you've gotten. And that is the way that these demons are imparted. And not only that, in the colleges, the communists have seated, you know, there are communist professors all through. Something should have been done about this a long, long time ago. And these poor kids come out of there with this foolishness in their brain of communism. It's like they never read history. They don't know where it always leads. It always leads to a lot of dead people. Oh, they made a mistake. We'll do better this time. No, it never happens. It never happens. This is so stupid, is repeating folly and expecting to have a different result. Well, this is all about leftists under a spirit of anarchy trying to overthrow the country and President Trump and the Christians, especially because they hate Christians. I was taken high above the earth and was shown a battlefield map. I was made to understand it was the United States, yet was actually it was a mountain and the area surrounding it. A mountain is like a kingdom, right? I watched as this coup swept across the map. Well, leftists are, let me say, leftists are turning the country red. Because their anarchy is causing fear of a communist overthrow in the people, even the Democrats. They are their own worst enemy. How could they possibly win? With each victory, another section of land turned red. The leftists, of course, you would think, are going to do things that are going to turn the country blue for the leftists, right? No, they're not that smart. Everything they do in front of people who are not totally demon-possessed turns these people to the red. And of course, we know turning red means pro-Trump. Trump's popularity is rising as the anarchists act out their rebellion and stupidity. And then he said, after a while, the whole map was red. This is why he said it wasn't very understandable. But it is understandable when you see what's happening out there and you compare the red map. By the way, I've seen the map that they say is the real map, and it was almost all red because they followed the votes with the watermark. So after a while, the whole map was red except for a very small area that appeared to be the top of the mountain. Well, who's at the top of the mountain? That's their leadership, right? Well, this is why Trump is letting them go crazy. Everybody says, why didn't he do something? Why didn't he do something? You can't just tell people things without proof. You've got to give them proof. They've got to see. And this is what Trump's been doing. From people that are close to him, that's what they say he's doing. He's letting them go crazy to show the world they're evil and turn the whole country against them. He's a smart man, and he's been made smart like that by God. Also, the top of the mountain, meaning the leadership, is spared. Possibly by deals cut? I don't know. They may return in tribulation to crucify the saints, let me say. For some reason, this thing comes back. It's for some reason, it returns. Okay? You can't totally wipe it out. The people, the Christian people who finally turn to the Lord in the tribulation period then have to be tested. Just like the bride and the man-child is tested before the trip, right? So possibly these deals that are being cut are letting them loose, as we just saw 100 people after Christmas are supposed to be basically quitting part of their deal to escape prosecution. They don't understand these people. They never give up. They're full of restless evil. They never give up. They will continue until they have an overthrow, which I believe is going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period, which is not that far away. They're going to return in the tribulation to crucify the saints. And when the proof of the left's fixing of the ballots comes out, almost the whole map will be red. And still, they're out there chewing. I mean, we've got all the facts against the faction in the church, in our local situation. We've got all the facts. We've got all the witnesses. And they make up stuff. Just totally make it up out of thin air. And this means that, and that means this. And, you know, oh, really? And the thing is, the only person that actually believes a factious person is a factious person. Because you've got to be demon-possessed to swallow that swill. He said, I was then taken back to ground level and was inside a highly strategic and important military installation. Well, I think the military is going to be ultimately their downfall. They're pretty pro-Trump. It was revealed to me this was the last piece of the chessboard standing in the way of a total and complete victory by the WHO, by the anarchists. I am not sure what was inside, maybe nuclear missiles or something of similar importance. I watched this force of tanks, helicopters, and marching soldiers converge on this last and final base. There was excitement and a sense of victory in everyone that was a part of this final wave. I distinctly recall Marilyn Manson, the satanic rock star, yelling up to one of the old men in a helicopter as he flew by. He said, "Let me join you. I want to be there when you take down Donald Trump." But the man yelled back down to him, "No. Where have you been all these last 4 years? If you didn't fight with us up until now, you're not going to share in our victory." Oh, a faction in the midst of the faction. Yes. This is what we've been telling you. The next thing I know, I am inside the guard shack of the base. I saw two old men inside the guard shack, and they were either colonels or generals. Yep. The generals are a major part of the queue. It was them who convinced Trump to run for president and who made it possible. And they command a mighty military whose authority stands behind them. They don't stand out there alone. They're like the cop who stands for the whole government behind them. People who do not fear the cop alone fear the government and the judicial system that stands behind them. Unless, of course, you're a leftist and then you don't have anybody standing behind you. Because they stand for lawlessness. They are the man of lawlessness. The faction is the man of lawlessness. So they don't stand behind the cops. But most of the United States is not that crazy. So when they see people not standing behind the cops, they say, oh. And they see people losing their businesses because these crazies are taking over their businesses and destroying them and burning down their cities and so on. They say, oh, we can't have this. We've got to have the lesser of two evils. Let's go get Trump. So, well, he went on to say they were in their 60s or older, but they were not weak and frail. They were brave and battle-tested. Well, yeah, these generals are tough. Battle-tested. The rest of these people are fat and lazy and usually live off the government themselves, right? And they stay home and live in mama's house and go down in the cellar and play games, right? They had no idea of the coup that had surrounded the base and were quite caught off guard when scores of young, inexperienced boys in fatigues and military-grade rifles, which they'd just gotten from the armory, right, started flooding into the guard shack. It was like watching an army of ants, one by one, enter through the door. But after a few seconds, these two high-ranking officers realized what was happening, and they quickly pulled out their sidearms and commanded all these intruders to stop and put their hands up. I admired their bravery, but I thought there's no way these two men could stop this invading force that was so heavily armed. Well, unless the people behind them, who didn't get to see past the door, saw them raise their hands, and they all began to raise their hands all the way back to the tanks, right? So these older generals command a lot of force. And these people stand behind them. But to my surprise, the boys were greatly intimidated, and one by one they all dropped their rifles and threw them in a pile. The soldiers kept flooding through the door, but as each one came into the room, they were frightened and threw down their rifles and stood there completely defeated. Well, if God be for you, who can be against you? You know, Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Israel won overwhelming victories when God put fear in the heart of their enemies. And like all the other scenarios Father keeps giving us, the Sennacherib, the Jehoshaphat, the Northern Army in Joel 2, the Red Sea, only an act of God brought victory in all of these things that he keeps showing us. And he won't share his glory with another. But I don't believe that the Trump administration is going to win this thing. I don't think God's going to let them win this thing. I think the Lord is going to prove that he is the only one that can win this thing. That happened in every one of these scenarios. Every one of them. Garrett said, I could not believe my eyes. I don't completely understand, but I knew when these two men stopped the assault on the base by the marching troops, the whole coup failed. The dream I shared with the local brethren was like that. Trump was almost dead, but God resurrected him stronger than ever. And he went out like a bull in a china shop. I sat there in the dream completely amazed. I had been watching every scene unfold in such dramatic fashion. I kind of got caught up in it myself. There was such anticipation that victory, that is for the coup, was all but certain. But at the last second, it was stopped cold. Huh. Like God at the Red Sea, right? Like God when Jehoshaphat was faced with the three armies, right? Like God in the Northern Army of Joel chapter 2. They cried out to God. There was nothing they could do. He whooped them right there. Like the Sennacherib scenario, they didn't fire an arrow over the wall. But they got up in the morning, and all of their mighty men were dead on the ground, 185,000 of them, and just one angel did it. Yeah. It's not hard for God to have a victory. So, I hope this is impressing you, and especially of those things that can keep you from having victory over these diseases that they're spreading around. Remember, they're stupid. There are people that know this, and I can't understand why everybody doesn't know it, but some people only watch the mainstream media. They only have a TV. So anyway, well, Father, we thank you for the victory, Lord. We know it's by grace, and it's not by man's works or any mighty man, even Trump. Who is a mighty man and a very wise man. And you made him so. You prepared him for this moment. And we thank you for it. But nothing that man can do can bring the victory. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who can be against us? It's just not possible. If God is for you, you will win. And the thing that gets God, you know, for you, I would say more than anything, is you walking by faith and not by fear. And you forgiving completely everybody of everything. You understand? Because if you don't forgive, according to Jesus, you are not forgiven. He was very angry and wrathful at the man who wouldn't forgive his fellow servant. And I don't blame him. He gave his life to forgive. He gave his life to bring forgiveness to all. And he wants all of the elect to have his forgiveness. And for foolish people to stand up and not forgive them, oh my. God is not on their side. Oh, thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for delivering us from the evil of this deep state movement around the world. I do believe the world is going to turn against it because God's going to put it in their hearts so that we can have a time of peace, a time of restoring the kingdom. We thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. No, wickedness will not be destroyed. The seed of it will have to be here to rise back up again in the tribulation period. But we read the end of the book then too. All of your elect were saved. They did not deny you, Lord, even in the face of death. They did not deny you. They made the right choice in the book of Revelation. And we thank you, Lord, that they will. And even today, people are not denying you, Lord. They're holding to your word. They're confessing your word. You said, if we confess you before men, you will confess us before the Father. Lord, we confess your word. We are delivered from the curse. Their plagues will not come nigh us, as Exodus 12 says and Psalm 91 says. No plague shall come nigh thy tent. 1,000 at thy left, 10,000 at thy right, and so on. And all these dead people, but it don't come nigh you. Praise be to God. Lord, we thank you for the total victory you have given to us in Jesus Christ. We claim it in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for joining us today, saints. God bless you and keep you. We'll do this again sometime. Good night.